Good morning. You're listening to Expansion on the RBN network, republicbroadcasting.org. I am Sophia, your host, and I'm very happy today. I have a guest. I've had two guests in a row who kind of see the picture, the big picture, in a very expanded way. The first was David Icke last Friday, and today's guest is All Is One Heart Song. Now, when I first heard of All Is One, he was sort of a legend among friends of mine. And the name All Is One, this connotes something, you know, very sort of spiritual. I thought maybe he was Native American, certainly very inaccessible and evolved, and someone that I heard he lived on Mount Shasta. He was kind of isolated and very deeply contemplative, and this following of his was extremely devoted to him. And I thought, my gosh, how do I get to know more about All Is One Heart Song? And then somebody sent All Is One a copy of 9/11 Mysteries, and we were connected. He watched it. He extended a very beautiful invitation to me to become his ninth spiritual daughter. And I knew absolutely nothing about him except he was this legendary person, if you could even call him that. And I was very honored. How could you say no to that? So in our very first conversation, All Is One, who used to be a psychologist, a practicing psychologist in New York City, whose real name was Arthur Earl Jones. He studied with Carl Rogers, who's also extremely famous. Anyway, All Is One talked and talked and talked, and I took 5 pages of notes. And I have kept those notes. They're all scribbly handwriting. I was furiously underlining and making boxes around things. And I realized that I had been introduced to something very great and that I was going to expand my understanding of this crazy world by rereading my notes and thinking in this new way. I know I'm keeping everyone in a kind of irritated suspense, but that's part of it. Life is having this experience of physical restriction and breaking out of it into mental expansion. So I would like to introduce All Is One. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Yes, and you see, here's the beauty. I'm talking, but you're going to hear that All Is One, who has just had his 80th birthday, he is the most eternal, youthful, lively voice that I talk to. And I think that's a true statement. So, All Is One, let's hear your lively, eternal voice.
Well, after that introduction, I'm not...
That's what I love. It's that laugh.
I'm not going to try to live up to all those superlatives.
Well, here we are with our break, which is going to be just a few minutes. But on the other side, we're going to hear a little bit about how you became what you are.
So we're going to take a break now?
This is Sophia on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to Expansion, my Friday show, and my guest today is All Is One Heart Song, formerly Arthur Earl Jones, psychologist. And All Is One is very well-versed in 2 subjects, and we're going to get into these. Many more, I'm sure, but this... He really is on the bridge between politics and metaphysics, and I have not found a lot of people who are right there and who can talk about it. So All Is One, shall we start with the concept of illusion? How are this? Because I think that's very mystifying for many people.
Okay, now that we're through and finished with all those advertisements
yeah.
and that legendary introduction... Before we begin, Sophia, I'd like to suggest that we pause for a moment to consider the question of how we are choosing to begin this interaction. Okay? For example, are we choosing to begin slowly or quickly? Are we choosing to begin with a positive orientation like partners in a dance, or with a negative orientation like, say, adversaries in a boxing match? Are we choosing to begin with feminine feeling that will raise the frequency of our adventure together, or will we begin with a masculine thought that will lower the frequency of our interaction, because feelings raise the frequency and thoughts lower the frequency? And finally, are we choosing to begin with a superficial approach that allows us to stay on the surface, or are we going to use a more profound approach that allows us to dive deeply into the heights and depths of life? The point that I'm wanting to make here at the very outset is that how we begin an interaction has a profound effect on where we will end up in that interaction. And that's why I'm recommending that we pause for a moment to contemplate how we're going to choose to begin this interaction.
Okay. You and I are going to do this contemplation, or everybody listening?
We invite everybody to join us in contemplating how we're beginning this interaction. I'm choosing to begin relatively slowly. I'm choosing a positive orientation that could be compared with partners dancing rather than boxers in a match as adversaries. And I'm choosing to begin with a feeling rather than a thought. And the feeling that I'm choosing to begin with is the feeling of gratitude. So I want to begin by expressing my personal gratitude, heartfelt gratitude, for all that you have been doing to facilitate the awakening of humanity. I'm in deep, heartfelt gratitude for all that you're doing.
Well, thank you for that. I barely really understand what I'm doing and that I'm doing a lot, and maybe that's a good thing.
Just be yourself and do your thing.
Yes. So I choose to begin with something you taught me, although it's my natural feeling. It's excitement. I'm very excited to have this unfold as you recommended when we talked earlier. This should just unfold. And I want to see how it unfolds, and I'm hoping that people will see how great you are from these 2 hours of listening to you talk. And I know that you're full of depth and wisdom and laughter and joy, and those are things. Joy is something that I have a hard time retaining in my life. It's a slippery thing, and it kind of wriggles and disappears, and then I'm back to my churlish, judgmental, annoyed self, which I am. People don't know that. If they lived in my head, they would be appalled. So that's our platform. Is that good enough?
That's fine. I want to say one more thing before we proceed further, and that is all of your introduction is full of superlatives that might give our audience a misconception of my orientation to life. I make a distinction between my higher self and my lower self, or my limited self, which is the personality. And I've learned to release ego trips a long time ago. So I want to make it clear that I'm not on an ego trip, and that I place my limited lower self in the service of my higher self. It's true that my higher self is very wise, but my personality has learned to be very humble and not take credit for anything, because my outer self, my outer mind, is in the service of my inner being, and I just want to make that clear.
Well, I think people are going to figure that out. And, you know, those comments may seem like superlatives to you, but I do mean them.
I understand.
They are meant by me. They're not gratuitous.
I don't underestimate your sincerity, Sophia.
Yes. Okay, so now that we've cleared the brambles out of the way,
okay,
should we discuss this concept of illusion, that our lives are, it's hard for me to understand that, although David Icke explained it quite well. But again, these things, these explanations are ephemeral because we are so entrenched in this three-dimensional reality with this body that we're lugging around on the one hand and operating from within on the other.
Well, I think that's an excellent way to proceed, and I'm right with you on this. I make a distinction between the big picture and the little picture, where the big picture is the multidimensional reality, and the little picture is just the third dimension of our human experience, which is a very limited aspect of the big picture. And so we always, as we proceed here, we always need to keep in mind the distinction between the multidimensional big picture that I regard as 12 different dimensions of consciousness, and the little picture, which is just the third dimensional consciousness that human beings are accustomed to. Let's proceed immediately. Instead of attempting to describe all 12 dimensions of consciousness that I'm referring to, let's just begin with the third dimension of consciousness. I'll just summarize briefly by saying the first dimension of consciousness is represented by the physical body. It's the mineral kingdom. The orientation of the first dimension is mortality or destruction. Everything is very temporary in the physical world. The second dimension, corresponding to the second chakra, is basically the orientation of the emotional body, which is dominate or submit, subjugation is the basic orientation of the second dimension. And the third dimension, which is the mental body, is the orientation of competition. So in the third dimension of consciousness, human beings are typically engaged in competition. It can take the form of sports. It can take the form of business. It can take the form of competition between men and women, the battle of the sexes, so to speak. The key thing to understand is that the third dimension of consciousness is a very limited state of being. It's a state of being in which the orientation is competition rather than cooperation, which corresponds to the fourth dimension. And in that third dimension of consciousness, the masculine principle is in competition with the feminine principle, so the masculine mind is continually dominating or subjugating the feminine feelings, and the result is, let's say, a contest that is not the whole reality. In other words, the third dimension of consciousness, which occurs as long as the heart chakra is closed to the fourth dimension and the higher dimensions, that third dimension of consciousness is not only limited, but because it's so limited, it gives rise to a state of being that could be described as illusion. From my point of view, the third dimension of consciousness that human beings are characteristically limited to is a world of illusion. Now, that's a pretty radical thing for most people to contemplate. When I say the third dimension is a world of illusion, I don't mean that it isn't real. I just mean that it's not what it appears to be. And once human beings begin to wake up, which means opening their heart chakra and moving into the higher dimensions, then they're in a position to understand that there is a lot more to reality than they had been taught to believe. So the essential point that I'm making is that the third dimension of consciousness, which corresponds to the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the mental body, the outer mind of human beings, is a very limited state of being. It's a limited consciousness that gives rise to a world of illusion where things are not what they appear to be. It's easy to be deceived in the third dimension of consciousness because you don't have the whole picture. You don't have the big picture. You don't have your intuitive feelings operating to guide you. You're just going with your mind and your senses, and it's easy to be deceived and misled in the third dimension of consciousness, which is demonstrated by what's happening to humanity at present.
Okay, so it's easy to be manipulated, is
exactly
what you're saying. And we readily submit ourselves to a constant manipulation or programming, right?
Right.
And, all right, so how do we transcend that? When you say all human beings need to do is wake up, how do you wake up?
That's the key question.
Okay, and we have our lovely break music coming.
Okay.
So we'll be back in 3 minutes to address the key question.
Perfect, okay.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to Expansion on Republic Broadcasting Network. republicbroadcasting.org is the URL, and I am Sophia, your host, and we're talking today with All Is One Heart Song, and we just got to a critical point in our journey in understanding what we're doing here, and that was how do we get human beings, how do human beings wake up?
That's a really key question. I'm glad you brought it up early in our sharing. Before we proceed, I just want to extend again my feeling of gratitude to the Republic Broadcasting System for the advertisements that we're listening to as we take our breaks. These are not ordinary advertisements. I'm aware that we're blessed with some enlightened consciousness in Republic Broadcasting, and I just want to express the gratitude for the orientation that is being expressed in these advertisements. Now, we're going to address this key question of how do we wake up? What does it mean to wake up? And how do we do that? In order to do that, I'm going to begin by shifting from the feeling of gratitude, which I started with, to the feeling of love, because love is the way to open the heart, and opening the heart is the key to waking up. So when we say humanity has been asleep and is in the process of waking up, what we mean is that humanity has been living in a limited state of consciousness in the third dimension, which is the case as long as the heart chakra is closed. The heart chakra is the fourth chakra. And the key to moving out of the limited state of consciousness in the third dimension into the much more unlimited state of consciousness in the fourth dimension and higher dimensions is opening that heart chakra. So to ask the question, how do we wake up? Another way of saying it is, how do we open our heart chakra and allow love to penetrate our limited consciousness that is characteristic of human beings in the third dimension? Now, there are a couple of different answers to that, a couple of different ways of approaching it. If we make a distinction between the mind and the heart, the mind being thinking and the heart being feeling, then we can begin by saying that in the third dimension, the mind is in competition with the heart, and the mind is used to suppress the feelings rather than to be guided by the feelings. So the first thing to do if we want to wake up and open the heart chakra and move into higher levels of consciousness is to stop putting the mind in the third dimensional orientation of suppressing the feelings and instead reorient to putting the mind in the service of the feelings, putting the masculine thinking in the service of the feminine feeling, and allowing the feelings, the intuitive feelings of our feminine principle to guide the thinking process of our masculine principle. That's the basic way of opening the heart chakra. Shifting from the competitive orientation of the masculine thinking mind, suppressing the feminine feelings, to the reorientation of putting the masculine mind in the service of the feminine feelings. That's a profound reorientation. When the masculine serves the feminine rather than suppressing the feminine, then we're on our way to opening our heart chakra and moving out of the third dimension into the fourth dimension. And another way of describing this is the word ascension. This is what ascension is. Ascending from the third dimension to the fourth dimension is a process of opening the heart chakra and learning to love ourselves free of the limitations of the third dimension.
Now, we do this consciously. Do we have to train in this, or does someone show us how to do it, or do we have to continually prod ourselves and remind ourselves that we must listen to our feelings instead of our mind? Because I think that's how it kind of translates.
Yeah, that's another very good question. You're coming up with some excellent questions here, Sophia. Okay. Let's see. The key thing to understand is that life is a process of making choices and then experiencing the consequences of our choices, not only the external consequences, but also the internal consequences. Life is a process of making choices and then experiencing the consequences of our choices, and this is the way that we learn and grow. So the process of waking up, the process of putting the mind in the service of the heart, is basically a choice. It's as simple as that. It doesn't require a long, difficult process of training or studying. It's just a simple matter of choice. It's actually so simple that most people can't grasp how simple it is. They think that the mind thinks that everything is very difficult and requires a long time. But the heart knows that it's simply a matter of choice. That's the real key. We create our experiences with our choices. That's the fundamental principle.
All right. Well, we have our break coming up again, and then after that we have a long spell during which we can talk.
Okay. You lead the way, and I'll follow.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Expansion on the RBN Network, republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Sophia, your host, and I'm talking today with All Is One Heart Song, psychologist by trade, but a lot more by, I would say, experience and wisdom combined. So All Is One, I want to put it this way. It seems that if we choose to operate out of our intuition and feelings rather than our mind, this is an expedient way to ascend from this third dimension in which we're all, I would say, suffering in a sense.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. It's a very compressed, it's a very uncomfortable reality module. And we're all crammed into it. And now they're telling us we're overpopulated in it, there's pollution, all the strife that I feel is politically induced and designed is crammed into this third dimension. And if we simply choose to experience our life with this other sense, this feeling language, then we are climbing out of it, right? We have our foot on the first rung of the ladder. Is that right?
Yeah, let me respond to what you're saying by clarifying something that is directly relevant here. I've already explained that the third dimension is characterized by the masculine principle competing with the feminine principle. And the first way in which that competition occurs is when masculine thoughts are used to suppress or repress the feminine feelings. But there's another way in which the masculine suppresses the feminine, and that is when the will is used to contract the consciousness. Let me summarize this way. The distinction between masculine thoughts and feminine feelings is the psychological way of distinguishing between the masculine principle and the feminine principle. Psychologically, the masculine principle is thinking and the feminine principle is feeling. But if we move into the spiritual dimension beyond the psychological, what we discover is that the masculine principle is represented by our will and the feminine principle is represented by our consciousness. So when the masculine principle is opposing or competing with the feminine principle in the third dimension, not only are the thoughts being used to suppress the feelings, but the will is being used to contract the consciousness. And that's what you were just describing. This contracted state of consciousness, this limited state of consciousness that characterizes the third dimension and which is sometimes described as being asleep. Humanity is asleep so long as that is psychologically or spiritually asleep, so long as the masculine thoughts are used to suppress the feminine feelings and the masculine will is used to contract the feminine consciousness.
I see. You know, I thought of something last night, and it's a little bit of a digression, but it isn't.
Sure, go ahead.
I was trying to compose an email in French, and I haven't written French for a long time. And in French, they have a future tense. They conjugate the verb differently, meaning if I were to say, he will say, that's our future conjugation in English. He will say. Let it not be lost on you that that word will, that masculine word, is contained in every expression of the future.
Yes.
In terms of action. In French, it's il dirait. He will say. It's a dire, the verb dire, to say, is...
Mm-hmm.
It has a different ending put on it.
Understood.
But there's no word will. He will do. I will go. I will have. I will. It's all will. And will is intention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks in the middle of the night, that the way we speak in English is chained to intention, and we don't even realize it. It's in the language.
Yes.
And so if the language has that masculine will in it, then that's another way of entrapping us in this third dimension.
It can be, yeah. Language can be used to liberate ourselves or to imprison ourselves, depending on how we use it.
So anyway, go ahead with the masculine-feminine competition. I agree that that's the nature of our existence, is that we are urged to be competitive, even in a friendly way, not to be supportive or cooperative. So what I am stuck on here is the jump between doing it within us and how that affects the actual unfolding of the physical reality that is apparent around us.
Okay, I want to begin by saying that I am continuing to focus on the feeling of love because that is the key to opening the heart. And as I focus on the feeling of love, including loving myself and loving you, Sophia, I am shifting from a more mental orientation to a more spiritual orientation. That is, I'm shifting out of my mind in the third dimension into my heart in the fourth dimension. And in this way, you might say, I'm demonstrating the process of waking up. So whereas I was speaking from my mind a good deal in explaining the distinction between the dimensions. Right now, I'm choosing to relax my mind, open my heart, and allow the loving feelings to flow as a way of demonstrating how we wake up by opening the heart, by choosing to love. A simple way of expressing this is, if you want to wake up, focus on opening your heart chakra. If you want to open your heart chakra, focus on generating loving feelings. For most people, the easiest way to generate loving feelings is to just focus your attention for a moment on those that you love the most, your children or your parents or your friends. In this way, by thinking of someone, I'm using the word thinking intentionally here, by thinking of someone that you love, you can shift out of the thinking into the loving feeling, and that's the way we open our heart. That's the simplest way of opening the heart, is simply think of someone that you love and focus on that loving feeling that comes up as you imagine. In your imagination, you bring to mind that person that you have experienced deep loving feelings toward. It's a very easy way to open the heart.
Okay. And then how does that make a difference in the politics of the world? I'm doing a big jump here. But it's okay. We can go into that in small steps. But
that's
I'm just going to keep...
Sophia has just invited us to take a quantum leap out of our personal process of opening our heart into the worldwide political contest that is going on planet Earth at the present time, and that is a big shift, a big quantum leap that we're taking here. It's an important leap to take. It's an important shift to make, and we're ready to do that. Okay, the political system on planet Earth. We've already made the distinction between the big picture and the little picture, so let's begin with that. When we say the little picture, we're talking about third-dimensional consciousness of human beings on planet Earth. When we talk about the big picture, we're talking about expanding our orientation from the third dimension on planet Earth as human beings to the multidimensional reality that goes far, far beyond the third dimension on planet Earth. The big picture is all 12 dimensions. I could spell that out, but that would slow us down, so we don't need to really go into the details here. All we need to understand is that the big picture is multidimensional and unlimited, whereas the little picture is limited to the third dimension of consciousness, where humanity is relatively imprisoned by their choices to be in judgment of one another, because it's judgment that closes the heart chakra. So let me spell that out a little bit more. That's a really key point. Why does humanity have so much difficulty waking up? Why does humanity have so much difficulty opening the heart chakra? It's because humanity is engaged in judgment. And when we engage in judgment, we close the heart chakra. The moment that you judge anyone, including yourself, you are automatically closing your heart chakra, and that keeps you imprisoned in the third dimension of consciousness, which is a very limited state of illusion. It's a world of illusion. How do we escape from the world of illusion in the third dimension? First of all, by opening the heart and loving, but more specifically, by releasing all judgments. Another way of putting that is to engage in forgiveness. Once we learn how to forgive ourselves rather than judge ourselves, and forgive other people instead of judging other people, we're then relaxing the mind and opening the heart. You can't open the heart as long as you're engaged in judgments. So long as you're judging yourself or other people, you are keeping the heart chakra closed. So the magical key to waking up and opening the heart and moving into the higher dimensions of consciousness is to engage in unconditional forgiving love and releasing all judgments. Now, that's easy to say, but extremely difficult to do. Why? Because we're living in a world that invites judgment, that provokes judgment. How do you practice unforgiving love?
No, forgiving love.
That's an interesting slip.
Yeah.
How do you practice unforgiving love? That's a slip that implies that we are caught in a trap where we're trying to practice forgiving love, but it's difficult because the tendency is to be in judgment and to be unforgiving. How do you forgive people who are deceiving you and subjugating you and destroying you? It's not easy.
Well, I want to give you a real-world example.
Okay,
because,
go ahead.
Let's say, you know, in this world, we have to do teamwork. We can't achieve everything by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we could try, but the way society is set up, if I want to create something and I don't have a skill to do a part of it, I have to go and hire someone or work with someone, right? So let's just say that the someone that I engage to do this other part of the project that I don't know how to do,
mm-hmm.
Let's say that that person turns out to be unreliable or drops the ball in some way that I realize it's not good to go on working with this person.
Sure, I understand you're speaking from personal experience now. Yeah.
Yes, and so let's say that out of the bigness of my heart, I don't get horribly angry and call them names. I just say, we can't do this. I can't work with you anymore. I'm going to have to find someone else.
Yeah.
Now, that is setting a boundary, creating a parameter. Let's say the other person reacts very strongly to what I've done and becomes accusing and angry with me.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to further distance myself. I have made a judgment. I have made a judgment about that person, and I must now continue to operate without that person in my spectrum of activity. I can forgive that person. I can be very understanding and say, well, you know what? He just didn't know how to do such and such well enough, or he whatever. But I have to operate with some kind of judgment. Or are you suggesting that I continue to work with this person, which would only be a recipe for more of this, more failure?
That's another excellent question, Sophia. You have a talent for coming up with really key questions to contemplate together. What you're describing is a human situation that we all encounter, and it brings into our focus the double meaning of the word judgment. To be in judgment actually means to close the heart chakra and to be invalidating the other person, or invalidating whatever it is we're judging. Saint Germain, who is one of my primary mentors, my primary mentors are Saint Germain and Archangel Gabriel, and they have taught me about during the past 20 years to understand that the way Germain used to put it to me in 1987 was validate everything, invalidate nothing. Now that's a very radical statement. Validate everything, invalidate nothing. That means don't be in judgment of anything or anyone. Again, that's easier said than done in the third dimension, where there are so many provocations and invitations to be in judgment. But what we mean by judgment is invalidating. If we make a distinction between preference and judgment, it's healthy to be in preference of one orientation or another, of one person or another, to simply have a preference of one over the other. But to be in invalidation is to be in judgment. And to be in judgment is to close the heart. So basically, moving out of the third dimension into the fourth dimension by opening the heart is a process of learning to release all judgments, which doesn't mean that you're no longer having preferences, you're no longer making decisions. It simply means that you're not choosing to invalidate anyone, including yourself. It's a fine art, learning to be in unconditional forgiving love doesn't mean that you close your eyes and close your mind. It just means that you develop a fine skill for making choices of preference without invalidating anyone or anything through judgment. The confusion here is the double meaning of the word judgment. And it's a fine art to learn to engage in preferences without engaging in invalidating judgments. Now, I can take this further and clarify it further by saying that the way in which we experience judgment is through the emotions of the second chakra. Let me be more specific. This is a good opportunity to make a clear distinction.
All right, but we have a break coming again.
Okay.
So we'll have to pick it up on the other
side. That's fine. We'll wait.
You're listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org. This is Sophia, your host, and I am speaking with All Is One Heart Song. We were just going to define, you were going to clarify, a second clarification of, I had it all fixed in my head and it went right out the window.
Judgmental emotions.
Judgmental emotions, okay.
Okay, let's begin by saying we have two different guidance systems. Every human being has two different guidance systems that they use to find their way around in this world of illusion that we call the third dimension on planet Earth. The first guidance system is the internal guidance system of our feelings and emotions. Now, the emotions come from the second chakra, whereas the feelings come from the fourth chakra. So in order to understand this internal guidance system of our feelings and emotions, we need to make a clear distinction between the judgmental emotions of the second chakra and the positive feelings of the fourth chakra, which are coming from our heart. And let me just review that briefly for you so you'll get a clear picture of what I mean by judgmental emotions. Okay. The four basic judgmental emotions are fear, anger, grievance, and guilt. They correspond to the future, the present, the past, and ourself. Let me be more specific. Fear is the negative judgmental emotion that invalidates the future. Anger is the negative judgmental emotion that invalidates the present. Grievance is the negative judgmental emotion that invalidates the past. And guilt is the negative judgmental emotion that invalidates ourself. When we're in guilt, we are invalidating ourself. When we're in grievance, we're invalidating the past. When we're in anger, we're invalidating the present. And when we're in fear, we're invalidating the future. Now, in contrast to these negative judgmental emotions, we have the positive feelings from the heart chakra, the fourth chakra, which are as follows. Enthusiasm is the positive feeling that validates the future. Joy is the positive feeling that validates the present. Gratitude is the positive feeling that validates the past. And love is the positive feeling that validates ourself. When we love, we are validating ourself. When we're in gratitude, which is what I chose to begin this exchange with, when we're in gratitude, we are validating the past. When we're in joy, we're validating the present, and when we're in the enthusiasm, when we're in joy, we're validating the present, and when we're in enthusiasm, we're validating the future. I'd like to emphasize that joy is a particularly important feeling Because when we are experiencing joy, that's a sure sign that we're in alignment with ourself, with our higher self, with our inner being. Joy is the sure sign that you're in alignment with your higher self, with your inner being. And once we understand that the positive feelings from the fourth chakra and the negative judgmental emotions of the second chakra constitute our internal guidance system, we can then begin to find our way around in this world of illusion much more effectively.
All right, we're at our top of the hour break, a very brief break, and we'll be back.
Okay, fine.